know, it's something that as Muslims we should not like, but it's also something very demoralizing for the other Muslims too. Obviously, when somebody becomes a Muslim, we become very happy and we appreciate it, the fact that a person has come from darkness to light, and the fact that he has accepted Islam and he's left a life of what we assume to be freedom to relative strictness of Islam. So that is something that we really truly admire, that a person is taking that step. But many people, like I said, because of the lack of support, they leave Islam. And that's why it's important for us to make sure that this segment of our society that we have, we make sure we support them and make sure that they feel welcome and they don't feel isolated in our community. This is very, very important. And that's why I mentioned last night this Ramadan Connections that we're doing. It is for the for them to be invited to our iftar and so on. We need everybody to sign up for that. So this is related to the verse that I want to talk about today. There was a people, a group of people from the people of the book. They wanted to demoralize the Muslims. And what was the strategy that they took? They said, what we will do is, at the beginning of the day, we will say that we are Muslims. And at the end of the day, we will say, no, it's, you know, I didn't find anything good about Islam. And what this will do is, their thinking was, that the Muslims that are new to Islam and fresh, it will demoralize them and it will make them slip up, and then we will attract them out of Islam into kufr and disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them, وَقَالَ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ آمِنُوا بِالَّذِينَ أُنزِلَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَجْهَ النَّهَارِ وَكْفُرُوا آخِرَهُ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So this was their strategy. The beginning of the day, become Muslim. At the end of the day, leave Islam. And then people who are weak in the faith or new in the faith, they will become demoralized and leave Islam. So again, this people leaving Islam, it is very demoralizing for many, many people, as those people can also lead others astray, and it can be bad for Islam itself. So this was the strategy that was adopted by the disbelievers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Ali Imran. Another story which is in the same vicinity of those verses is about an incident that took place between a Sahabi and a Jewish person. There was a dispute over land, and they approached the Prophet ﷺ to resolve this issue. And the Prophet ﷺ, there are many incidents in which Muslim, non-Muslim, approached the Prophet ﷺ to pass judgment, and on many occasions, the Prophet ﷺ actually gave the judgment in favor of the non-Muslim. It wasn't a case of, you're my buddy because you're a Muslim and I'm going to rule in your favor. No, he always used to rule justly. So in this particular incident, there was a dispute over the land, and the Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahabi, do you have any proof that this land is yours? He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I don't have any proof. Then he asked the Jewish person that, are you willing to take an oath that this is your land? And this, from this we take the principle, al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i wal-yameenu ala man ankar. Al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i wal-yameenu ala man ankar, which means that the person who's making a claim to something, he has to provide proof. And the person, or basically the plaintiff, he provides the proof, and the defendant, he swears that whatever accusation is being made against him is true or untrue. So basically this is what we derive from this. So the Sahabi protested. He said, Ya Rasulullah, this person, he will take an oath just like that to prove his case. So, you know, this is not something that we can use so to accept from him, because his oath is not something which is credible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually revealed a verse towards the end of Surah Ali Imran, that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَيْمَانِهِمْ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَا خَلَاقَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those people that take an oath and they try to acquire things by taking these false oaths, they will not have any share in the hereafter, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to talk to them nor look at them with rahmah, with mercy, and they're going to have a very painful punishment. And this same selection of words actually found in a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned three people who will have these punishment on the Day of Judgment. One of them is وَالْمُنْفِقُ سِلْعَتَهُ بِالْحَلْفِ الْكَاذِبِ, the person who tries to sell his goods with false oath and false testimony. And again, we see that this is so prevalent in our own Muslim countries, right? A person who tries to sell you something, there's never a fixed price. So they start off with something huge, and if they think you're a foreigner, you know, they think, okay, this is my chance to make a bit of money today, and they will start off with a huge price, and then after that, haggle and negotiate, and it comes up at a quarter of the price that it originally was. Okay, but in the meantime, he's taking an oath after oath, and oath after oath, trying to prove his point that no, wallahi, I got it for this price, and I'm selling it you now at a loss, and I'm trying to do it for a clearance, so I need to get rid of this stock, so I'll sell it to you for a loss. So oath after oath, look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those people that takes the false oath. There's a mention in a hadith that the person who takes false oaths to prove a point or to try to attain something, he will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even, according to the hadith, even if it's something as minimal as a miswak. You know, a small tooth stick, if a person tries to attain that by taking a false oath, this will be a source for a punishment for him on the Day of Judgment. This taking the false oath is known in Islam, in Sharia, as al-yameenul ghamus. And ghams in Arabic refers to a person who takes a dive into the water and he's completely covered by the water. And why is it called al-yameenul ghamus? Because when a person is doing that, he's basically covering himself and drowning himself in sin. That's how dangerous this is. So it's very, very important to make sure that we never take false oaths, and we make sure that we guard our tongues when we are taking an oath. What are we doing when we are taking an oath? We are actually making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a witness. Making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a witness for us. That is what an oath is. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw me that I did this, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw me that I didn't do this. So basically we're making a lie up about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how dangerous is that. This is found very, very clearly in this ayah. And the last thing that I want to refer to is a person who actually during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he was a Muslim, he left Islam, and then he wanted to, he thought a little bit about it, researched a little bit more about it, and then he wanted to come back to Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed some verses about him. كَيْفَ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا كَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ وَشَهِدُوا أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ حَقٌّ وَجَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ أُولَئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ أَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَلَا هُمْ يُنظَرُونَ. And these verses, they seem very condemning of such a person who would do such a thing, that he had hidayah and he had guidance, he left the guidance and basically left Islam, that how can that person be guided? But then after that, there's an exception to the rule. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Except for those people that make tawbah, and then they resurrected themselves, corrected themselves, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, He is forgiving and merciful. So many people just think that, okay, he's become an apostate, he's left Islam, there's no hope for him, there's no chance for him. No, there's always a chance. There's always an opportunity to talk to him, to advise him, to answer his misunderstandings and misconceptions. Generally speaking, people leave Islam or don't get attracted to Islam because of lack of knowledge or because of misinformation. Okay? Misinformation, or they haven't had their questions answered by somebody. Usually, if they had sat down with somebody and talked to somebody and presented their questions to somebody, the most likely result of that would be that they would have been confident that Islam is the true religion, but because they didn't get the right information from the right sources, that is why those people become misguided. But even those people, there's always an opportunity for them, as we see from this selection of verses. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand what has been said and heard. Dr. Yahya, please, inshallah, move forward.
My perspective, and I will